Ovo bi bila zadnja služba za ovu godinu. Tako, znači sljedeći vikend bi onda preskočili službu. Malo da se odmorimo, malo ćemo imati familiju, prijatelje, možda priliku da svjedočiti. Malo napuniti baterije, malo poslušati koju propovijed i tako. Malo se možda odmoriti. Počeli smo dijeliti letke, ali tako, već smo imali prvi kontakt. Javio se jedan gospodin, zainteresiran je za knjige, kaže ako je to sve tako kako tako piše tamo, onda tu stvarno nešto ima i kako da to ljudi ne znaju. Ja bih htio pročitati knjige, tako da kogod dijeli letke, evo, to je dobro, Bogu hvala, znači je, ipak će doći do nekoga koga to interesira. Imamo 4 propovjede, nismo ih isprintali, znači ostali smo bez tinte, pa nismo donijeli, a 4 nove propovjede prevedene iz serije o Hebrejima. Znači, gotovo cijela serija je prevedena, sad u korekciji, mislim da je ostala još jedna ili dvije propovjede da se završe. Ima 14 knjiga i to planiramo izdati ovako kao ovu knjigu, kasnije cijeli niz tih propovjedi, Brat Branham je imao, ja mislim, 3 su propovjedi, pitanja i odgovori, 11 po poglavljima knjige Hebreja. I onda bi to na kraju izdali kao jednu knjigu. U međuvremenu ne morate čekati tu cijelu knjigu. Ko zna kad ćemo to uspjeti napraviti, to uzme neko vrijeme, ali svaka propovijed kako ide malo po malo će biti dostupna. 4 su dostupne, već su na Message Hubu i gore možete sami sprintati, sami downloadati, sami napraviti knjižicu, sve jednostavno. To je, ne znam da li sam još nešto rekao, sam znači do sljedeći put i mislim da je to više manje sve što imamo. Znači, prošli put sam rekao da ćemo imati malo drugačiju službu i samo jedan stih bi pročitao, onda ćemo pjevati pjesme i krenut ćemo sa današnjom, s onime što smo danas pripremili. Bekica je uzeli smo jednu propovijed od Brata Branhama koja kaže vidjeli smo njegovu zvijezdu i došli smo mu se pokloniti. I onda smo napravili kao što smo jednom prije napravili sa onom propovijedi rukopis na zidu. Znači, kao da kažem ilustrirali ili im pojavljaju se neke slike u pozadini, a prvo govori. Meni se to osobno jako sviđa jer je to, ne znam, ako gledate nekakav film koji su snimili ljudi u svijetu i onda pokušavate doživjeti tu neku scenu ili neki opis, onda je to sve u duhu toga autora koji nije u duhu poruke, a najčešće nije u duhu Biblije. Znači, to je plod neke mašte, njihove improvizacije i više manje svaki toliko naletite na nešto što znate, to nije tako. I prvo govore to nije tako i Biblija govore to nije tako. Uvijek je puno neke romantike i nekih stvari kojima se Biblija ne bavi, a svjetovni ljudi to naprave da bude privlačno svjetovnim ljudima. I onda kad prorok nešto ispriča, onda ovo je nekakva, recimo, kad bi snimili film po tome što prorok priča, kako su se stvari događale. I mislim da ovako, meni se to sviđa što ja znam, onako, možda i za djecu to dobro. Onako, kad slušaju prorokov glas, slušaju propovjedi, u pozadu imaju neke slike koje su na tu temu. Znači, taj jedan, nisam pogledao, ali tu jednu propovijed koju smo napravili i stavili na internet, ne znam, mislim da je zadnji put, čini mi se kad sam gledao, je bilo preko 600 puta da je pogledano. Znači, to je na neki način, dobar način da ljudi poslušaju poruku, a da nisu ni svjesni da su čuli poruku i onda pomalo ih to uvuče u to da čuje što prorok zaista naučava i što poruka zaista uči. Pa tako možda nije loše da to podijelimo na internetu sa ljudima, da čuju prorokov glas, čuju nešto iz poruke i uvijek je tu prorok. Onda ne prepričava samo taj povijesni događaj, nego kaže neke stvari koje su značajne i koje su pomažu da razumijemo i koje su zapravo ono što mi vjerujemo. Znači, taj dio bi imali za danas. Znamo da, to sam se prošli put kao malo distancirao od toga da mi slavimo Božić. Znači, nema veze, danas ili ove dane cijeli ljud, svi ljudi, odnosno svi kršćani, više manje će slaviti rođenje Isusa Krista. I mi ga slavimo, ali svaki dan. Tako, nama Božić nije neki specijalan događaj, jedan dan u godini. To je nama specijalan događaj svaki dan u godini. Tako da mi nemamo nekakve rituale i ceremonije da ćemo baš sad jedan dan u godini misliti na Isusovo rođenje, a ostale dane u godini misliti na sebe i svoj provod. Ali evo, kad se ljudi prisjećaju toga i prorok je često koristio to vrijeme, u godini da bi na neki način propovjedao ono što je on nazivao svoju božićnu poruku. I nekad su te božićne poruke bile vezane za temu Isusovog rođenja, a nekad možda i ne tako direktno. Ova propovjed je dosta vezana za temu Isusovog rođenja i ja bih samo htio reći jedan detalj i onda poslušamo poruku nakon što otpjevamo nekoliko pjesama. Jedan stih iz Biblije koji znamo jako dobro, ja ću ga samo kratko pročitati u Otkrivenju. Kaže, 7 zvijezda, anđeli su 7 crkava, a 7 svjećnjaka koje se vidio, 7 je crkava. I mi znamo da jedna od tih 7 zvijezda je bila i glasnik 7. crkvenog doba ili preteča 2. Kristovog dolaska. I ono što bi htjeli vidjeti da kad prorok ovdje u ovoj propovjedi govori o toj zvijezdi koja se pojavila i dovela mudre ljude ili mudrace do Krista, da zapravo u naše vrijeme se desila ista stvar. Pojavila se opet zvijezda, a ta zvijezda je jedna od ovih 7 zvijezda iz desnice koje je Bog imao, koja je nas opet dovela do Krista. Prvi Kristov dolazak bio najavljen zvijezdom. To je bila jedna konstelacija nekih nebeskih tijela koju su mudraci prepoznali u to vrijeme i ti mudraci su bili nekolicina i rijetki ljudi koji su to uspjeli uočiti i kojima je to promijenilo život i koji su posvetili svoj život da prate tu zvijezdu koja ih onda dovela do Krista. I to je isto ono što se događa u naše vrijeme. Bog ponovo je najavio Kristov dolazak sa zvijezdom. Ta zvijezda je jedna od zvijezdi iz te konstelacije od 7 zvijezdi koje Bog ima u svojoj ruci. I postoje neki ljudi koji su nekolicina, samo par ljudi u cijelom svijetu je prepoznalo, e čekaj, pojavila se zvijezda, to znači da dolazi Krist. Pojavio se prorok, preteča, evo dolazi Krist drugi put, idemo ga slijediti. I onda nam optužuju da slijedimo zvijezdu i to je samo djelomično točno, mi slijedimo zvijezdu do onog trenutka dok nas ne dovede do Krista. Tako? I ne možemo doći do Krista bez te zvijezde, bez tog proroka, bez tog sedmog glasnika. On je poslan da bi nas doveo do Krista. Amen. I onda njihov put je zapravo i naš put koji mi prolazimo. I kad prorok priča o tome, povijesnom događaju, mi ga možemo staviti u kontekst našeg vremena. I to je ono što bi htjeli da pogledamo taj događaj Kristovog rođenja, njegovog prvog dolaska i da pokušamo naći vezu ili primjenu ili paralelu sa njegovim drugim dolaskom u naše vrijeme. Jedna od primjena je najavljen zvijezdom, onda i sad. Evo, da ne dužim, malo više da ne dužim. Može Viktor da se pomoli za službu, pa ćemo onda pjevati pjesme i pogledati to što smo pripremili.
Dragi Gospode, hvala ti što si nas doveo ovdje danas da čujemo tvoju riječ, Gospode. Tvoja riječ je ono što nam treba, Gospode, da bi uopće znali što bi mi u našem životu trebali raditi.
Amen.
Gdje da se maknemo u tracu da idemo, Gospode. Bez te tvoje riječi mi smo potpuno izgubljeni, Gospode. Priznamo to pred tobom, priznamo da nam treba tvoja riječ, Gospode.
Amen.
I molimo te, Gospode, da vam danas otkriješ punim svoje riječi koju si za nas danas premio. Molimo te, Gospode, Isusa Krista. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
tehniku složimo jer nešto neće kako smo planirali.
What if there wasn't a real Christmas? If there had not been a real Christmas, well, things wouldn't be the way they are tonight. If there wasn't a Christmas, there would have been no salvation. And now that we're facing Christmas again, it's too bad that we have changed it from the real meaning of it, being the birth of Jesus. What if there wasn't a real Christmas? If there had not been a real Christmas, well, things wouldn't be the way they are tonight. If there wasn't a Christmas, there wouldn't have been no salvation. And now that we're facing Christmas again, it's too bad that we have changed it from the real meaning of it, being the birth of Jesus, until just well, it looks like it's Santa Claus has taken the place of Christ in Christmas. And some fiction of Kris Kringle coming down a chimney with a sack of toys on his back, it visits the whole world in one night. And I don't know what you think about it. It's all right if you want to tell your children that. But I always thought, well, the scripture says, thou shalt not lie. And then someday they're going to ask you, is this Jesus the same thing that Santa Claus is when they find out there's no Santa Claus? So I best think it's best myself that not be your idea. I'm not telling you how to raise your children. But if they catch you lying on that, then they're going to say someday, maybe this other's a lie also. So just tell them the truth, straight the truth, and then they'll know how to, what you mean. So no matter how bad the outside looks and what they're doing out there, that should not bother us from making Christmas what it should be. See, I think that the light shines the best in the darkness. The darker it is, the better the light shines. Sometimes just a small light, where there's much light, is not noticed. But the darker it gets, that small light will shine that much stronger. And remember that there's no darkness can exist in the presence of light. Light is so much more powerful than darkness until it cannot stand in its presence. Darkness cannot stand when the sun starts to shine. Because the sun is so much greater than sunlight that it just presses the darkness out and it's no more. And this dark world someday is going to turn to all light when Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shall come again. Then we'll have no more darkness. Until that time, just as we look out at nighttime and see the moon shining, the moon and the sun is husband and wife, as to say. And in the absence of the sun, the moon reflects the light of the sun to the earth, giving it a lesser light that we can see how to get around by the moonlight until the sun rises. And then the sun and moon becomes one, the same. Sunlight and moonlight is all the same. That's what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be, reflecting the light of Him while He is absent from the earth in a physical body. The church should be the reflection of Jesus Christ in these dark hours. When Santa Claus and tinsel all over the street, we should scream out, it's the birth of Jesus Christ and not the visit of St. Nicholas. We're living in an awful dark time. That's when our light should really shine. We stand in honor of the reading of His Word. I'm going to read where I want to speak from tonight for just a few moments. It's going to be from the book of St. Matthew, the Christmas story. In the second chapter of St. Matthew, we read this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, of the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now tonight we're going to approach it from a different way. I'm going to take my text tonight, the Lord willing. We have seen his star and have come to worship him. These wise men. We have an idea here that, and we're told by tradition that there were three wise men. Yet we don't know that to be true. The Bible doesn't say there were three. However, I've had the privilege of ministering in India, where they come from, and they travel by threes. And they said, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. In other words, we have seen his sign for this age that they were living in. It was prophesied so. See, I believe that the Word of God is eternal. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word can never be changed. It's eternal. It's God Himself in print form is the Bible, God's Word. He's got to judge the church by some standard. And He cannot judge it by the standard of any system that we have made, because every one of our systems are man-made. And it has to be judged. He said He would judge the world by Christ, Jesus Christ. And Christ is the Word. Therefore, we will stand the judgment by the Word of God. Now, God never does anything without first showing a sign. He's not guilty of ever doing anything but first declaring it by his sign. And these wise men said, we have seen his star in the east. They were in the east when they saw it, which was in Babylon, which was east of Jerusalem. And they were in the west 2 years later, said, and have come to worship him. Christian tradition has us coming to a little baby laying in a manger, the wise man. That isn't so. The scripture is contrary to that. The scripture says they came to a young child, not an infant. Herod slew all the children from 2-year-old down. They watched where they had to travel with a camel to get there, taking them right on 2 years to make the journey, coming down through the Tigris River across. We have seen his star when they were in the east and have come west to worship him. Now the real day of Christmas, that would be disputed because we do not know it. The way we take Christmas, if you ever studied it, we're taking the Roman Catholic Church's conception of when Christmas was. Actually, Christ could not have been born on the 25th day of December and be according with the scriptures because there's 30 foot of snow in Judea in that time. So they could not have been shepherds out on the hills and so forth. And it'd be contrary then to all nature. He came like nature. Now, but he was perhaps born in April or May 1 when he was a lamb. And every other thing proved him to be a lamb. That's the reason he was born in a manger in a barn and not in a house. Because lambs are born outside in the barns and straw and stuff and not in the house. When he was taken to the crucifixion, he was led away. Remember, you lead the sheep. Go to slaughter out down here. They got a goat or something that leads the sheep. The sheep won't go itself. He's got to be led every way he was. So then in nature, he had to be born when lambs are born, and that's in April. See? That's about when he was born. But then when Christianity was brought into Romanism and mixed at Nicaea, then they had the sun god, Jupiter, the sun god of Rome. His birthday was on about the 25th day of December, because the Roman circus started on the 21st and lasted until the 25th, which was in celebration of the sun god's birthday. So blending Romanism, paganism to Christianity, they said, let's make it the sun of God's birthday, and then we can all agree upon it. See, it's always been on systems of compromising to the truth. Every time has always been. So today we find out that in there they've injected everything. All of our holidays are polluted. Our Easter, it's no more the resurrection of Christ. It's some kind of Easter rabbit or new hat or something. Or little pink duck. Has nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. No more than Santa Claus has anything to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. But it's a world, in the commercial world, it's got everything in such a tangle and mess until no wonder God's justified to burn the thing up. And he's going to do it. He promised he would do it. It has to get this mess in order. There's no hope spark. It's gone. This that I'm speaking of tonight might seem just a little bit unusual, and especially of these notes and scriptures I have written here, which I will refer to as many of them takes down the scriptures and so forth. Now, it's a little unusual, but I want you to always bear this in mind. God is unusual. God does unusual things. That's the trouble with us today. We get so set in the usual things that when something unusual takes place, then we're all out of it. We don't know what's happened. God does the unusual. And any man that's ever read the Bible knows that God always does the unusual. And remember, this is all pre-arranged by God himself. This birth of his son, when it was to take place, how it was, and when it was all pre-arranged by God himself. Did you notice? It had to be just at this time when this murderous king, Herod, nothing but a murderer, kill all those little children, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and Rachel weeping for her children, and they were not. See, there had to be a murderous king to fulfill that prophecy that was spoken many hundred years beforehand. But when God speaks a word by his prophet, it has to come to pass if it's God's word. No matter how long it lingers, it'll still come to pass because it's a seed. Jesus said that the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. So it must bear its fruit in its season. And now this murderous king had to be at that time to kill those children. Another thing we want to notice is just at that very time that he had to raise taxes on the people. In doing that, that forced Joseph and his wife, his espoused wife, Mary, to be forced back into Bethlehem. God knows how to do things. He'll even make the works of the enemy praise him. When we think sometimes it's all we've got to do this and do that to make the clock tick just right, God's timepiece is ticking perfectly, and Jesus will be here right on time. He won't be 1 second behind. Everything will happen just exactly the way God said it. So whether we do it or whether we do not do it, it'll be here just the same because God has spoken, and it will be so. How many of the priests probably cursed Herod at that time in the name of the Lord? How many stood up probably secretly and said, oh, this Roman, we could get a hold of him, we'd do so and so and so, not knowing it is working exactly according to God's plan. Sometimes today we curse communism and all these things, which I guess it deserves it. But if you only knew the truth, it's working exactly in God's hand to do just exactly what he said it would do. He's got to raise up something to take Babylon off the earth. And he's got the instrument in his hands. You just read the scripture, it's written right there what he said he would do. Now, those ministers of that day had just read and studied that word, they know that it had to happen. Now, we understand that on this great taxation, the king gave forth his rule or his order that all people would turn to their birthplace regardless. Now, that looks like a horrible thing. That poor little woman in that place that she was in, heavy with child, and would have to take that long journey. Today we'd hardly think of taking her in an ambulance, and she had to, if you was ever in Palestine, see where she had to come through that rugged granite boulders up through there on the back of a little mule. No matter how bad it was and how cruel it seemed, that was the king's orders. Everybody must do it. Young or old, prepared or not prepared, they had to do it anyhow. And sometimes we think of our burdens, I might inject this right here, that we think our burdens are so heavy sometimes that there's nothing like it in the world. Do you know all those things are good for you? They're all to mold you, make you. Prophets and sages is molded on the backside of the desert in a hot, blazing sun through tribulations and trials and persecutions. And these things that we have today, there's nothing happened to us that hasn't happened to other Christians before. Other Christians have had to stand in the hour of darkness like this and even be fed to lions for their testimony. And then we take down on a little prestige or somebody that we think we are. Well, I belong to so-and-so, this certain church, you know, I'm afraid I'll bring reproach of it. Don't be afraid of your testimony for Jesus Christ. Shed forth your light. Stand for your convictions that he is the Son of God. Now, all these great things and happened down there to this little couple. It seems strange, but it might seem strange to them, but it all was working together good. Strange as it seems that Almighty God foretold and took the welfare of the baby Jesus and revealed it by a dream. What to do? Now that God, in this secondary way, to his own son, revealed it to Joseph by a dream. The Bible said he did. Yes, sir. Now Joseph was a good man. He was the son of David, and he was espoused to Mary. I'd like to pass this on before we go further. Espousing in the East was the same as marriage, as the plural. As soon as they were espoused, they were married. that sacred vow between them was taken, read Deuteronomy 22:23, and you'll find out that when this woman and man agreed to be married, yet they did not take the vows for months later, if they even broke that vow, they were guilty of adultery. When they was espoused, they were just the same as married. The law had not given rights to live together as husband and wife yet, but before God, when they promised one another, their words were sealed in God's kingdom. And to break that was just committing adultery. And now, Joseph was espoused to Mary. If minister brothers, if you study that right good, you clear up on this marriage and divorce case that's so hard and different amongst the people today. Notice Joseph, her husband, being a just man, see? Now, we find out that this could not be broken. She must have told him, this young virgin, beautiful young Jewish maid. She become, we're all adults here as far as I can see, she become to be mother. And Joseph, going with her, noticed this. No doubt, after he was espoused to her, he found out that she was to be mother. Now, he was a just man, the Bible said he was. She must have told him of her innocence. A lovely woman, I can hear her just as it were to say, Joseph, my beloved friend, my beloved husband, I am innocent of this. And she must have told him of the visit with her and the great archangel, that the archangel had come to her, Gabriel, and had visited her with these great signs that he had told her about, that what was going to happen. And then we noticed she too, after she had this visitation, she was so elated by the angel's message that she took up into the hilly country of Judea from Nazareth, where she was a native of the city of Nazareth, a very mean little city. And when she got up there, her cousin, Elizabeth, was also already 6 months to be mother, who had been called barren. Her husband, Zachariah, was a priest at the temple. One day, while he was waving the offerings, which was burning incense, rather, over the prayers of the people that was being said outside, Gabriel, the angel of the Lord. Now, he hadn't been seen or nothing been seen of anything supernatural for years and years and hundreds of years. But here stood that angel at the right-hand side of the altar and told him that his wife would conceive and bear a child, and he's going to call his name John, and we all know the story. And then when Gabriel also 6 months later visited Mary in Nazareth and told her about the event of her cousin Elizabeth. And then quickly, Mary having this great secret in her heart that what was going to take place, she hurried up into the hills to see her cousin. And when Elizabeth had hid herself, because she didn't want to appear out before man in the condition she was, and she had hid herself for 6 months. Now, according to my understanding of the scripture, she was weary. The baby had no life to that time, and it was way subnormal for a baby not to move within or at least 3 months or more of time. But now it was 6 months, and the baby had never moved. So when Elizabeth and Mary met each other, they no doubt hugged each other, embraced each other as cousins, and were so happy to see each other. And let's just think of what they said. I can hear Elizabeth say to Mary, "Oh, darling, you look so pretty." And Mary said, "You know, I know that you're to be mother. Yes, it's kind of bothering me. And 6 months and my baby has not moved yet. Oh, but I've got something to tell you. I just can't hold it any longer. You know, it's something about when you get in contact with God, you can't keep still about it. You just got to say something about it. That is, if you got a real true conversion. I don't care where you are, you've got to express it somehow." And I can hear her say, "You know, I've got something to tell you. I'm going to have a baby too." "Oh," said Elizabeth, "I suppose then, why didn't you invite us to the wedding, you and Joseph, when you were finally married? I know you were espoused, but why didn't you invite me to the wedding? Oh, we're not married yet." "And you're going to have a baby?" "Yes." "Well, Mary, I don't quite understand. You know, the angel of the Lord appeared to me, Gabriel. He was the one that told me that you were to be confined. He was the one told me, and he said the Holy Ghost was going to overshadow me. And that holy thing would be born to me, would be the Son of God. And I shall call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sin. And the first time that that wonderful name was ever spoke by human lips, little John, being dead in his mother's womb, leaped for joy and received the Holy Ghost dead in his mother's womb. If the power of the speaking of the name of Jesus Christ will bring a dead baby to life in a mother's womb, what ought it to do to a church that claims to be his church? Armed by his Spirit. As Elizabeth was so startled, as she looked at Mary, she said, "Whence cometh the mother of my Lord? The mother of my Lord. For as soon as thy salutation come to my ears, my baby leaped in the womb for joy." John was born from his mother's womb, full of the Holy Ghost, by the name of Jesus Christ. What type of a baby should this be? No doubt that she rehearsed this to Joseph. Now, see, Joseph being a just man, he kind of wondered. No. Now, I know if she's caught in adultery, the first thing's going to happen to her, she's going to be stoned. She cannot. Now, notice, now in this, we find that she was to be mother, not Mary. So, to Joseph, it seemed like that Mary was trying to get him to be her shield from the scoffers and scorners. See? Joseph was to be her shield. Go ahead and marry her anyhow and be her shield, but not to be a husband to her in the way of family relation. But it was to be, she's to be a shield for her. He wanted to believe her. I really believe that. He wanted to believe her. But her story was so unusual. It was hard for that believer to believe. You pardon me, man. And so is it today. The story of the power of the Holy Ghost upon the earth today in the church is so unusual to the organization and the denominational mind. They want to believe it, but it's too unusual. It's too fantastic. But it's the truth. The Bible said it would be this way. Here it is. The Bible said while he was thinking on these things, see, he was a good man, and he didn't want his own name marred, and yet he knew that that woman was that way, that he could marry her. She was to be mother by another man. And yet he said that innocent little woman, her life has been like a pure as a lily, and I want to believe her. But I don't know what to do. While he thought on these things, he was minded then to put her away privately. He said, "I won't cause any great disturbance about it." Now, I remember he never took the oath yet, but he was espoused. But he put her away privately. And while he's thinking on these things, put her away privately, see, it come to the best of his knowledge, see, he was a just man and a good man. Brother! Sister, let me say this. If you are just, if you are honest in your heart, then God's obligated to reveal a thing to you. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he pondered on the things. It was so unusual, as I said, he could hardly comprehend that. How could those things be? But he no doubt sat down, prayed over, studied in the scriptures. How could these things be? While he was studying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He wasn't a prophet, and there wasn't a prophet on the earth in those days. No one who could come to him with, "Thus saith the Lord." So the Lord took the secondary way. That's the reason God took the welfare of his own son to a man by a dream and put him in Egypt and brought him back out and hid him from the wise man, or the wise man went another way. There was no prophet in the land, so he took secondarily the dream. But there was man who wasn't born to be a seer, but they were good men, and when they did, God visited them in their subconscious and revealed himself. If you just yield yourself to God, God's got many ways that he can reveal himself to you. You might not be a prophet, you might not be a teacher, you might not be a Sunday school teacher, you might not be a preacher, but there's ways that God can reveal himself to you, see. Whether it might be dreams, it might be in some other way. If you just submit yourself like Joseph did, no doubt he said, "Oh great Jehovah God, I come through the lineage of David, and I am a righteous man, I hope I am, I'm trusting in what you said to be the truth. And my beloved little sweetheart here, that I'm espoused to, to put her away, otherwise I'm guilty of committing adultery. And she's to be mother, and I don't know her as a wife. What is these things, Lord?" See, he was not a prophet, so he couldn't speak to him that way. So he let him get to sleep and sent the angel of the Lord to him in a dream. The angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and touched him and said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." There you are. That which is in her is not some man. The Holy Ghost has done this. The woman's told the truth. This unusual story, this unusual thing has happened, Joseph, that's got you all tore up. It's of the Holy Ghost. So he told Joseph, "Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." Remember, already his wife. "Take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, a prophet or seer doesn't go to sleep. He sees the angel standing here. The other man just goes to sleep and he sees the angel. And the angel said, "Now, Joseph, the angel riddle, there's nobody there can interpret it for you. So I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to make it real to you because there's nobody there can make it real. Now, don't fear to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And when Joseph rose from his sleep, oh, how his heart must have been full of newborn faith. That mystery that had bothered him, that's something that he wanted to believe. But that's something that he dared to believe, it was so unusual, yet was made known to him by a dream. New faith sprung up into his life. Oh, my, he had faith in God. He had faith in his wife then. Both faith in God and love for his wife, and love in the one that he loved. There's no more question. No more question about it. He knew that was the angel of the Lord. He knew that God had revealed to him just exactly the question that was in his mind. So all questions was gone. When God, in any way that he desires to do it, reveals to you the question that's in your mind, there's no more doubt. There's no more question about it. It's a revelation. Now, we find out that right away he married her. Oh, he was no more question then. He took to him Mary, the wife, and knew her not as a wife until a child. Happy of that. He was glad to be Mary's sheep. He was glad to bear her reproach. And when the Holy Ghost comes and reveals the Word and makes it live just as that, then it's a revelation to you. You see it, it's unfolded. His promise for the hour. Joseph seen that was Isaiah, prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 9, "Unto us a son is born, a child is given. He shall be called the Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Do that be, because he saw the whole thing when the angel of the Lord told him this, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. Now, that was a great mystery, the super sign that God gave to all the world, a super sign that was his son. When Christ, Jesus, was being formed in Mary, that's when the persecution started. That's right. That's when her persecution started. And it's the same thing in you. Galatians 4:19 says that when Christ, the hope of glory, formed in you. Christ is being formed in you. When you are dying and Christ is coming to life, what's the persecution saying? What's trouble start on every hand? What's the devil going on your page? Certainly, when Christ is being formed in you, and when Christ is being formed in Mary, quickly come the King's commandment. All you people, just as sheep is, that Christ is becoming a full baby ready to be delivered, right? Then the great persecution. Now the baby's been formed for a long time along in the womb. But this is coming the last days. When the completeness, when the fullness of the Godhead, when the fullness of Christ is to be manifested among his people. He said so. He promised it in his word. And when that fullness, you see, these unusual things begin to happen that he promised. That's the reason our great social lives and things can't understand that it's foolishness to them. I watched their forming of churches, see? Just the time when the church is beginning to get to its feet, where the supernatural is beginning to work, now they've all went into a group, and now they're going to try to stop this stuff. Just exactly like it was. I said last Saturday that the Philistines are garrisoned at Bethlehem, that the people will not be able to come unless they come to that council church. They'll take them to a stagnated cistern, not to the fresh waters of Bethlehem. Of course not. Now we notice, then, when the King gave his commandment, just when the Christ was being formed. Now let's take him just a moment. Let's watch him carry him just a little bit before we close. I can see Joseph say, Mary, darling, that cruel king. But she say, listen dear, remember, the Holy Ghost told me that his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. His people from their sins. Now, Joseph, dear, no matter what takes place and what the king says, I am able. I can set up on the little mule. It's several miles up around these rocky mountains and so forth. And if we happen to need a little help, there'll be many in the journey because we're not the only family. There's others that suffer the same thing we have, so there's others along the road. And we can kind of go along with the rest of the crowd as they go up the hill. And they go up into Bethlehem. Or from Nazareth, come up across the mountain. Now, we find out that he must have got the little donkey and fed him an extra a bunch of hay and some oats that day because the little lady was pretty heavy. So he sets her up on the little mule and puts a bag of water, a few little biscuits, and gets a little donkey and gets his stick in the hand. Up the road they start, over the little mule, stangling and falling. Oh, look what that little fellow's packing. Look at his burden, what it is. He's bearing the Christ to his birthplace. Here's this little woman sitting up on there in pain to be delivered, holding to the mane of the little mule and speaking to him as she goes along the road. I see him all day, he'd stop and he would rest her. Dear, are you very tired? No, dear, I'm all right. But would you want to ride a while? No, dear, you sit there. You'd set her off a little donkey and let her rest a while, then give her a drink of water, a little sandwich to set her back up on the mule. Finally, begin to get dark. Travelers along the road, much more able to travel faster, they come on by. She had to breathe the dust of the rest of them on horses and carriages and so forth they could go over it. Because she had to travel real slow on account of her condition. What a cruel thing to send that mother up there in that condition. But I can just imagine on the little drama, as they come up to the top of the hill, Bethlehem sits in a kind of like a valley. On the west side of the mountain, of Bethlehem, the mountain where the little trail comes up, I just can see him now in a drama. It gets dark, and Joseph is dealing with his staff along as he takes every shortcut he can with the path around this way where the carriage had to go, and he probably cut through to try to save time and get out of the dust with his little wife. The stars begin to come out. After a while, he comes up the top of the hill, and once again, they look over into the city where they were both from, over in Bethlehem. the lights of the city, many were there, places was crowded, people on the outside, sleeping on the ground, out along the fields. The question, perhaps the first time then struck Joseph's mind, what will I do if I can't find a place for that baby might be born? She's been in pain all day. So now, what if that baby is to be born now? As he stood there, looking down across the valley, wondering, his eyes had to look over sideways. He saw a strange sight. You know, it's usually like time of trouble. The supernatural things happen. He looked over there and he saw a star. He'd never remember seeing one so big. It looks so low, and it's hanging right over Bethany. He looked up, he turned, after he helped Mary up on the rock and rest for a while. He turned around to say to her, "Dear, did you ever notice?" And he could even see its reflection in her pretty black eyes as she stepped low, smiling. Said, "Dear, isn't that strange?" She said, "Joseph, honey, I have watched that since the sun went down. I've been watching that stuff. Somehow or another, I feel real strange tonight. That something's fixing to happen." Well, it's usually that way, you know. You have that strange feeling. And she began to watch the star, and Joseph, the little mule, taking his rest, breathing. And they watched the star. It had an odd action to it. It didn't act like the rest of the star. It seemed to be restless, moving. It was waiting for something, watching for something to happen. Now let's leave our little couple sitting here on this rock for a minute. Let's get in our minds and go way hundreds of miles, way into the east, the Magi, way up in the east in India. That night, as it was their custom, when the sun went down, the stars came out, they went up on a mountain, they got in a tower, kind of like an observation tower. And they got up there to worship and to study, and they kept time by the stars. And they studied events, and they go up there and they study the fall of powers and of nations and the collapse of nations and so forth, of kingdoms, and how they would think about it and talk about it. And they know them stars, every one of them. They know them like we know the Bible. Every move they made meant something. You know, God always declares his doings in the heavens before he does on earth in heaven. Ministers know that. Now they're watching the stars because they know that any shift, immediately, they search right back through the scriptures to find out what it was. You say scriptures? Yes, scriptures. They were Magi. But they were Mohammedans, what's come to be Mohammedans. They were really from the old Medes of Persia. That's where the Mohammedans come from. We all know that. And listen, they had a master down there. If you want to read it, it's Daniel 2:43. Daniel the prophet was their master when they were down in Babylon. Exactly. Daniel was their master prophet. And he taught them all the things of God because he was a master over it. And he told them that there would be a stone cut out of a mountain someday. You remember him, John? Without hand, they would smash the Gentile kingdoms to the world. And all kingdoms in itself would grow and cover the earth. And now, these were not unbelievers, these Magi. No, sir, they were believers. They believed in one true God. We know that's the truth. The Bible said so. And if you want to read, you read in Acts 10:35, where it said, "If God is no respect of nation, but honor those who fear him and do righteous." Now, yet they wasn't exactly in line of truth, but they believe the same God that we believe. The Mohammedans believe the same God we believe. I've stood many times to see that Mohammedan priest take that great big thing there and get this great big bong out there and say, "There's one true and living God. And Muhammad is his prophet. We believe there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his son." See? He says, "Far be it from God having a son." He thinks it had to be a spirit, you see. So he says, "There's one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet." They still believe in that one true God. And this was sugar. Now, we notice, as these Mohammedans studied, these was Mohammedans yet. They just called Magi. And they watched those stars. They burnt fire at night as a sacred fire. And they attended their God by the sacred fires as it burned at night. And they watched and they worshiped. And every night, they climbed up here as soon as the sun went down, and they studied these things just like we get together at conferences and study the Bible word by word, and they know every move of them stars. And one night while they were up there, studying, and no wonder it was most alarming when a visitor appeared among them. A stranger. They had never seen that star before. They didn't know what about this. No wonder they was alarmed. I don't imagine all night long they watched it. They didn't know what to do about it. My, it was a stranger. In that great constellation there, they found a star hanging right here. That it was a stranger, a phenomenon. They'd never seen anything like that. So they began to dig back into Scripture to see what this is all about. Of course, they could find nothing in their own writing. But they went back to Daniel and found out there's coming a stone. Star Jacob. They knew there was something taking place. They must have all had prayer and went to sleep, discussed it together. And they must have dreamed that night that the King of Kings is born on earth. Or we're told in a recent newspaper clipping of the Magi there that when those three stars lined up and made one star, that the Messiah was there on earth. And they were actually Jews up there studying, getting their education in astronomy. So then when they seen that, they know that Jesus is born somewhere. That they didn't know where it was, but they must have drew straws to find out what to do. Just how, who's going to go? Everybody wanted to go. Everybody. But they always take, as I said a while ago, three is a witness. The witness to come back and tell them if it's the truth. So what did they do? They loaded up their wealth. They loaded up their gifts and everything to take to him. I just wonder tonight, brother, sister, if we sometimes, we're always trying to see how much we can get ourselves when we ought to be giving what we got to Christ. See? Not learning how smart we can be and how we can outwit the other fellow, but how all that we thought we can surrender to him. How we find that these fellows, they were believers. They wanted to find out. They loaded up everything they had to take off. They wanted to find out if this is true. Now they had a long journey. So they all pitched in their riches together and everything get ready with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and whatever they had to take to find out this king. They started their journey with their gifts. And notice, to find this king, they went by a heavenly, God-given sign. Not with some man's theology. They seated in the Word, it was supposed to be there, and they followed the heavenly sign. If man could only have the audacity that they had, if they could only have the understanding that they had, when God gives us something, if it's Scripture, hold to it. Man said there's no such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're just exactly the way it was on the day of Pentecost. So does it come today. Divine healing, the power of God. No one can explain it. The Bible has been taken away. I can show you where God gave it to the church. You show me the Scripture where he took it away. Not there. Lord, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For the promises, and Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to them as far, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as ever call. The same Holy Ghost tonight is just the same as it was then. To the honest heart, now we find on the journey, they followed the God-given sign. They watched, they never took anybody's word, they didn't go down and consult any bishop or anything else. God gave them a sign, they seen it here, it was the truth, and they took out after it. It led the way. It was the one that the Scripture predicted to. They know that this was coming, and they followed it. And what was it? I can see him leaving, waving goodbye. We'll be back one day, brother, bring you the message. For we know it's true. And they followed it down across the mountains, down across the Tigris River, down to the plains. Days in and out, months in and out, hard as they could go, watching that star. In the daytime, probably they'd lay down and rest and sleep, turn over, talk to one another. Oh, it must be wonderful when we get there. This heavenly being, this heavenly light, this light that we see, this supernatural. Amen. You think I'm beside myself? I'm not. Notice it. This heavenly being, this light that we're watching. Now remember, nobody else saw it. It crossed over observatory after observatory, down by magi after magi, But it was sent for them. I believe they saw it because the Bible said they did. Nobody else saw it. Nobody saw the light that Paul saw. It's the same thing. It struck him down on the road to Damascus. But it was given to Paul. Nobody saw the Holy Ghost coming like a light out of heaven, a dove. But John, he saw it. He bare record. He saw it. The rest of them didn't. He did. For he was looking for it. The Magi's were looking for it. And when you're looking for it, when you're ready to receive the real Christmas present, the real Christmas gift, God's Christ gift, the Holy Spirit, you're looking for it, you see it. It's a heavenly light sent down from God out of heaven, the bare record of Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't take anybody else's word. In the daytime, it was restless. They said, oh, I just can't wait. I don't know how much longer we'll go. We'll probably go to Jerusalem or down to the Holy Land, Palestine, because that's where the prophecy said that this one's to be born at. So we'll find it sooner or later. Nighttime comes and the darkness begins settling. Remember, the light only shines in darkness. That's the only way it's recognized. We ever lived in a dark time when man and creed has got people away from God's Word? It's today when these denominations just tie them up in all kinds of stuff, not the Word of God. It's so much they'd be blind enough to walk into a council of churches. Things like that, connecting themselves together with all kinds of unbelievers when the Bible said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Our churches going into such a conglomeration as that. Sure, they're blind, but it's that dark hour when the light comes forth. That's when the light shines. Watch this. When the night come, they rejoice and say, just keep leading, westward leading, still proceeding. Guide us to that perfect light. On down across the rivers they went, down through the sandbars and everywhere as they went, just wanting to find out the very truth. And look, Bethlehem was exactly in line with Judea from where they were. Jerusalem was in line with Bethlehem from where they were standing. Notice, oh, what a symbol, if you can catch it. Here is Bethlehem, and Jerusalem's up here. And from where the Magi was coming, they had to come to Jerusalem first before coming to Bethlehem. Do you get it? That great big self-styled denominational headquarters. Yes, sir. Jerusalem, where all the denominations met together. The great council met there, you know. So when these men, they came and they come to this city, and they thought, there it is. If anybody will know about, can explain this great mystery like to us, there's all the high priests. There's the doctors of divinity. There's the PhD, the LLD, and all this up there. They'll know everything about it. Oh, brother, Jerusalem's in sight. Here we go. We'll have it. Right into the streets they bursted. Where are you going? We got a great message. What is it? Where is he, this born king of the Jews? What's this mystery light up here about? Who, where is he? Up and down the streets, these rich men and fine plated camels and gold and frankincense, up through every street, down through every alley, screaming, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? But he found out that they didn't have the answer. The great cry today, communism is on us. Oh, every radio broadcast is always knocking communism. You can discern communism, but the sign of the time you can't discern. Jesus said you can discern the face of the sky, but the sign of the time you can't discern. Always talking about communism, communism. You better find out if something else goes with it. What time are we living in? What is the sign God said he'd show last before it comes to pass? What was the things he said? Israel in her place over yonder, the fig tree restored herself back again. Look at everything just exactly setting in line. And the church in a Laodicean condition with Jesus on the outside, a fugitive to his own church. Just as David was up above Bethlehem, a fugitive from his own people. A fugitive. And Christ, the Bible says in the last days, was a fugitive to his own people there. And Revelation is the third chapter of the Laodicea age that we're living in. Christ is on the outside knocking, trying to get in. A fugitive to his own They were in there trying to find out what kind of buttons they should wear on their clothes, the next conference, who should be the main speaker, and so forth. Something on the order of that. And here was the wise man watching the heavenly light coming down. Said, when I get to Jerusalem, they'll tell me what this heavenly mystic light is above us that's leading us. And up and down the street they went, where is he? Where is he? Born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We come to worship him. We got gold, frankincense. We got everything for him. Where is he? Where is he? I said, where's who? Why? That's the way it is today. Oh, there's no such a thing as that happens today, is there? Oh, when the sun goes down, we see a mystic light. I never did see it. Call the man on the tower. Did you see any kind of a mystic light? Did you see me? You see any mystic light? No, what's the matter? They didn't have the answer. They haven't got it today. They don't know what these things are. Where they ought to know. Where the great heads of churches ought to be aware of these things. But God always works in the minority. It's so humble that they goes out on top of them. They don't go up to get him. Fulfills his word like that. That's it. We get our own selves twisted up in these great big things and we can't move. God cut us free from the pity that we can see what hour we're living in. They had not the answer for the mystery slide. They didn't have it at the headquarters. Neither did they have it today. So what did they do? They called for the word of God. That's the idea. They said, let's look up in the word of God and find out where these things are. And when they called for the word of God, the Magi are smarter than a lot of people today. The Magi saw, according to the word of God, that they didn't have it and wasn't going to get it.
Amen.
Amen. They found out that that wasn't even the city. That wasn't even the place. He was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Amen. Amen. The least, the humblest among all of them, the little bitty tiny place, not the big self-style. The wise man seemed right quick. The word of God revealed it that they didn't have it and wasn't going to get it. So they got out of that mess. If we could just do the same. Born to the dream. Out of that mess they went. So they left it. Hallelujah for them. They left it. After they got out of that mess, then the supernatural appeared again. After they got cut loose from had to get out of all that conglomeration up there, busting the argument and everything. Found out where all the big headquarters was and all the big high priests and doctors of divinity, all of them walking around with their PhD in the great big high church and having only couldn't see the star for that. Walk for that. Such things as that blinds a lot of people. Big names and big people walking around. I said, well, there is no such a thing as that. 400 years we never heard something. What's the matter with them crazy people? Send them on back up in India where they belong. Well, what? The word of God, what are they saying? Thou Bethlehem of Judea, art thou not the least among all of the princes of Judah, but out of thee shall come. Oh, we're in the wrong place, they said. We won't join up with any of this stuff. So they turned their camels and got away from it. God bless them. Out of there they went. And as soon as they got away from it, there the light appeared again. The supernatural began to move in them again. Oh, my. They begin to follow the supernatural. Magi got out of their system. So after they got out of that, the supernatural light from heaven appeared to them again. As long as you're tied up with a bunch of unbelievers that don't believe these things, you'll never be able to be as blind as a bat. Cut yourself away from everything, if it's mother, father, sister, brother, denomination, whatever it is. He that won't forsake his own and come after me, he's not even worthy to be called mine. He that puts his hand on the plow and starts and even turns to look back, not worthy of plowing. Brother, sister, let me tell you, there is a genuine, true Christian light shining tonight. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Cut loose from everything. And he is the Word. He's always the Word. God's Word is perfectly right. If the whole private interpretation state means this, it means just what it says. Bible says it's of no private interpretation. If it says black is black and white is white, that's just what it is. It's the ultimate. It's the absolute. And every man that's born of the Spirit of God is tied to that. No matter nothing will separate him from it, he's tied to that word because it's Christ. Christ is the Word. And Christ cannot lie about his word, for he is the Word. There was that heavenly visitor and they was watching and come right straight to it. So they left the old creed and started on the supernatural again and away they went. How they rejoiced. The Bible said they rejoiced with exceeding great joy when they saw that light coming in. On they went following the supernatural. And what did they do? They followed the heavenly sign of that day. Now remember, the heavenly God-given sign. Do all of you believe it? That's true. That was a heavenly God-given sign. They followed that sign till they found the Word made flesh. You believe it was the Word made flesh? The heavenly sign promised of that day led them to the Word made flesh. Brother, sister, you'll do the same tonight. This great sign from heaven that we have, the Holy Spirit, living with us. Follow it. Something's moving in your heart. We have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Civilization has traveled with the sun from the east coming west. We're on the west coast now. East and west has met. We can't go no further. The oldest civilization is China. Come back to the other side of the world. Remember, it's gone, and sin has traveled with civilization. And I know it's hard to say this, but brother, sister, if the thoughts and intents of man's heart, a man anointed of the Spirit, can stand, and you've watched it and seen it on others, you stand and watch a person, just let them say a word to you. You see right there that bugs are flying. See? If they catch that anointing with that, every thought of man is continually evil. Just like it was in the days of Noah, to even grieve God that ever made man. He said, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. And we come back to that time yet. Again, notice, you know, the day we get a great big present, we wrap it up and take $3 to wrap it up, put all kinds of tinsel on it, and many times you think it's a great present. And a woman standing in the store today, two of them talking. One said she's going to get her daddy. So what? Talking to her sister, said, what are you going to get daddy? Said, I'm going to get him a deck of cards and a carton of cigarettes. She said, I got him a fifth of whiskey. And it said, I'm going to wrap it up. See, the tinsel on the outside doesn't declare what's on the inside. See? But God's got a Christmas present for you tonight. He wrapped it in a manger. The outside wasn't very much, but oh, the inside's eternal life. Won't you let this phenomenon of the Holy Spirit strike your life tonight and lead you to the eternal life? Let us bow our heads just a moment. Raise your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Branham. I truly want to find that life. You don't know, 1 minute, somebody might raise up their hand and say, what difference does that make, Brother Branham? Difference between death and life. If that hand went up like that, and you really meant that, there's something by you. What is it? That's that light I'm talking about. That's that light that tells you, I've been wrong. There's world in me. I don't want it anymore. I raise up my hand. That's a testimony. Remember, you know what a raised up hand is? In every language under heaven, a raised hand is a surrender. A sign of surrender. And may the angel of the Lord come and say, fear not. This is the light of the day. This is the light of the hour. The evening lights are shining. The prophet said it'll be light in the evening time, just before the sunset. Lord, we see the sunset of time. You'll soon blend into eternity. Grant, Lord, that each one of them would find Jesus tonight. For I ask it in His name. Amen. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Skoro kao da smo bili tamo na službi u to vrijeme, evo, da smo bili, da smo rođeni prije i da smo na tom mjestu, ovako bi poslušali tu službu od proroka, ali tako. Puno stvari se može izvući iz te službe, I kaže prorok na početku da kad Bog radi, uvijek radi neobično. I kaže, i ako vidimo, bilo je to jako skromno. Ljudima koji su to proživljavali, nije u tome bilo na prvi pogled ništa nadprirodno, ništa posebno. Bio je najveći događaj koji se ikad desio. Tako, ljudi koji su proživljavali, ne znam, Marija ili Josip i proglas kralja i tako dalje, to je njima izgledalo kao njihova muka i problem. I možda su rekli, i drugi prolaze iste ove probleme i drugi su se morali ići tako prijaviti na taj popis kao i oni, ali za te druge to nije imalo neku vječnu težinu. Ovako, to je, za njih je to bilo nešto nadprirodno. I kad gledamo, i drugi ljudi imaju probleme, i drugi ljudi imaju kušnje, i drugi ljudi su bolesni ili imaju financijske probleme ili ne znam bilo koje probleme. I onda ponekad se čini šta ima posebno u tome, u ovoj našoj svakodnevnici koju prolazimo, ali ima nešto nadprirodno u tome. I Bog uvijek izabere tako nekakav skroman, jednostavan događaj i nešto što nije spektakularno, a onda on napravi nešto spektakularno u svemu tome. Kaže prorok na jednom mjestu da se nadprirodno u ovoj službi sad kaže nadprirodno se uvijek desi u vrijeme nevolje. I ono što smo primijetili, kaže, kad se Krist počeo oblikovati, nastupile su kušnje, i o tome smo pričali. I onda kad kaže tako, puno stvari se možemo izvući, ja sam samo evo nekoliko spomenuo, recimo kaže kako su mudraci proučavali zvijezde i svaki najmanji pokret te zvijezde, kaže kao što mi proučavamo Bibliju riječ po riječ. I vidimo i drugi su proučavali, ne samo oni zvijezde, ali Bog je izabrao njima pokazati da primijete kombinaciju tri zvijezde, ili da kažem našim jezikom, da primijete tri stiha koja se, dok su se poklopila u isto vrijeme. Tako? I mi možemo izdvojiti tri stiha koja su se poklopila u našem vrijeme. Možemo izdvojiti Malahiju 4, možemo izdvojiti Luku 17.30 i možemo izdvojiti Otkrivenje 10.7. Tako? Znači, oni su našli tri zvijezde, primijetili su neki pokret, nešto neobično je bilo. Drugi su primijetili, možda vidjeli te iste zvijezde, ali nisu zaključili šta, da je to neki nebeski znak za to vrijeme, ili tako. I onda oni su to proučavali, jednom kad su to našli, našli su to u pismu i oni su slijedili to. I oni su dok su slijedili imali puno problema, ili tako. Bilo je kiše, možda je bilo snijega, možda je bilo sunca, trebalo je napojiti deve i ne znam sve skupa šta je bilo potrebno i živjeti neki svakodnevni život, i u tome nije bilo opet nešto spektakularno. Tako, kao što mi moramo sutra otići na posao ili ne znam, platiti račun ili neke druge stvari, ali ono što je bila glavna stvar u njihovom životu, da su oni slijedili tu zvijezdu. Jedni su prepoznali su da je to nebeski znak za njihovo vrijeme, kao što smo mi prepoznali taj nebeski znak proroka koji je zvijezda iz Kristove desnice, znak za ovo vrijeme, i oni su ga slijedili. I onda kaže da su oni očekivali takav znak, jer su proučavali one spise koje je im Daniel ostavio, i Daniel im je ostavio, i kaže prorok, i knjigu brojeva u kojoj se nalazi onaj zapis, onaj stih koji kaže da će se pojaviti zvijezda, tako. I oni su ga očekivali na neki način, i mi očekujemo. Znači, uznesenje mi očekujemo, zato što znamo stih kojeg je Daniel ostavio, tako, prorok. Daniel je bio prorok u poganskom svijetu, tako, među poganima u Babilonu. Mi živimo ponovo u Babilonu, u tajni Babilonu, u velikom Babilonu, i opet postoji jedan prorok koji je ostavio i ukazao nam na neke stihove i mi znamo da živimo. Kaže, oni su očekivali i oni su to dočekali, ono što su očekivali. I kaže, njihov put ih je vodio da su prvo došli u Jeruzalem, a tek onda u Betlehem, tako. I onda zašto se pitate, zašto se pitamo, zašto smo prvo došli kroz Jeruzalem, kroz denominacije, kroz farizeje, kroz saduceje, pismoznance i slične organizacije, katolike, baptiste, metodiste ili bilo kako,
pentekostalce,
znači zašto? Zato što je to Božji način da te dovede na krivo mjesto da bi napustio to krivo mjesto. Znači, tako su oni završili na tom krivom mjestu, i pismo nije reklo da će se roditi u Jeruzalemu, nego da će se roditi u Betlehemu, je tako. I kaže, kad su oni vidjeli su da ljudi među kojima su oni bili u Jeruzalemu, da nisu znali ništa o onome o čemu su oni znali. Znači, kaže tamo prorok, oni su vikali, popni se gore na kulu, pogledaj da li ti vidiš neki znak, da li ima nešto posebno, oni nisu vidjeli nikakav znak. Zato što jednostavno onima u Jeruzalemu nije dano da vide znak, ali tako. I Bog je izabrao nas da nam je pokazao znak i jedino ono što su oni pametno napravili, što je bilo dobra odluka u njihovom životu, da su napustili to. I kaže prorok i pismo tamo, kaže, kad su izašli, ponovo im se ukazala zvijezda. Zapravo kaže da je zvijezda jedno vrijeme prestala sjati. I kad su izašli, zvijezda im se ponovo pokazala i da su se veselili prevelikom radošću. I znamo da mi kad napustimo, znači, crkveni svijet i denominacije i nastavimo slijediti zvijezdu, zvijezda se ponovo pokaže, poruka se ponovo pokaže. I možemo izdvojiti puno toga. I na kraju prorok par puta kaže, i s time bi onda završio, kaže da ih je znak doveo do riječi koja je postala tijelo. Mi danas želimo ponovo da ona riječ koja čitamo postane tijelo u našem životu. Jedini način da nas, jedino što nas može dovesti do te riječi, da postane tijelo u našem životu, kao što je onda one mudrace znak doveo, zvijezda ih je dovela do riječi, postala tijelom, danas će nas do toga ponovo dovesti jedna zvijezda, tako, to je ova poruka i prorok kojeg je Bog poslao, dovešće nas do riječi, postala tijelom u našim životima i to je ono što želimo. Znači, vjerojatno, ako imate vremena, možete poslušati, izvući puno toga u poruci iz ove propovjedi koja izgleda, kad je ovako površno slušate, izgleda da prepričava događaje, ne vidi čovjek ne, možda bi onako sa nekom krivom pristupom toj propovjedi propustio puno toga što prorok zapravo hoće reći. Znači, izgleda jako jednostavno, izgleda da prepričava nešto što svi već znamo, ali onda prorok svako toliko stavi jedan detalj iz te propovjedi koji mi vidimo da prorok govori zapravo o našem vremenu. Samo treba to primijetiti, ali tako. Evo, neka zbog blagoslovi. Možemo otpjevati još jedan put onu pjesmu Rodio se u ideji i onda bi završili. Za ovu godinu pomolit ćemo se nas Bog blagoslovi da se pobrine dalje za nas, da nam otkrije svoju volju za vrijeme koje je pred nama i završiti službu. Thank you. Imali priliku da se skupljamo, Gospode, u miru i proučavamo Tvoju riječ, Gospode. Hvala Ti za sve što kroz što si nas Ti proveo, Gospode, i za one stvari koje su bile dobre i ugodne i blagoslov, a i za one stvari, Gospode, koje bi mi ljudski rekli da su bile teške, Gospode, ili loše, ali znamo da za kršćana ne postoji loše, Gospode, jer sve ide na dobro onima koji Te ljube, Gospode. Tvoj prorok kaže, i danas smo čuli, i znamo da Tvoja riječ tako nas uči, da su sve te stvari samo da bi nas izgradile, Gospode. I ono što Te želimo moliti za vrijeme ispred nas, Gospode, da nas blagosloviš, da nas Ti vodiš, Gospode. Želimo ponovo služiti Tebi, ali ovaj put iskrenije i bolje i potpuno bez rezerve, Gospode. Želimo činiti što Ti hoćeš da činimo. Molimo Te, Gospode, u vremenu ispred nas. Ne znamo da li nam je dana cijela godina, Gospode, ili manje s obzirom na kraj vremena u kojem živimo, ali želimo, Gospode, biti plodni u svjedočenju, u življenju za Tebe, Gospode, više kristolike, Gospode. Molimo da nas blagosloviš sa zdravljem i sa snagom i vodstvom i mudrošću, Gospode, i predanjem Tebi, da ono što kažeš, kad si nas učio kako da se molimo, da nas izbaviš od zloga, Gospode, i da nas ne uvedeš u napas, nego izbaviš od zloga u vremenu koje je ispred nas, a da mi to onda iskoristimo tako da živimo posvećene živote potpuno služeći Tebi. Predajemo Ti se, zahvaljujemo za našu zajednicu, za druženje koje imamo i prijateljstvo i bratstvo, Gospode, i na svega zahvaljujemo za Tvoju prisutnost i molimo da svoju prisutnost u buduće još više, još stvarnije, još realnije očituješ među nama, Gospode. I kamo god da idemo, molimo Te u ime Isusa Krista. Amen. Bože blagoslov. I pozdravljamo vas za ovu godinu.